Hello, this is John Ivy from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the July 2010 Boys Life magazine. And our first article is entitled, Cast Like a Pro. And here has a picture of Mr. Aaron McAlexander about to prepare to do and show us about some fishing. Reel in some tips from a master caster. Aaron McAlexander, 24, has fished his entire life. His first memory is of fishing around a stump on a lake near his home. Today, he is a collegiate bass fishing champ and master caster with the Recreational Boat and Boating and Fishing Foundation. He practices casting an hour a day. It's the only way to get better, McAlexander says. McAlexander uses a casting technique called the shooter that can break a light bulb from 30 feet away using a fishing pole, some line, and a lure. Start with these basics from McAlexander, and you could soon be casting like a pro. The shooter, great for fishing boat docks and brush piles. Shooting is basically an old crappy fishing technique, McAlexander says. I just took it and went into the bass world with it. Step 1. Lower the lure about half the distance between the rod tip and reel. Step 2. If you're using a spinning reel, flip open the ball, which is the thin wire part of the reel that is flipped from one side to the other. Hold the line with your dominant hand and grasp the lure with the opposite hand. Step 3. Draw the rod tip down and pull the lure back to your chest. You could even shoulder the rod like a rifle. Step 4. Aim straight down the rod. Then release the lure with your fingers and point straight down the rod with the finger that was holding your line. The line will come off the spool and propel the lure forward. Overhead cast. Great for distance. You can really get a lot of power behind an overhead cast, McAlexander says. It's very accurate, too, because you're looking where you're casting. Step 1. With your thumb, hold down the button on your bait casting reel and bring the rod back. Step 2. Bring the rod forward and release your thumb. The bait will drag your line out. Step 3. Push the button back with your thumb to slow your spool. If you don't do it efficiently, you can end up with a backlash. Line tangle, McAlexander says. Pitching, great for casting 10 yards or closer. I like to use pitching for up-close finesse fishing, says McAlexander. Step 1. While holding the rod straight up, let out enough line so that the lure comes down to the reel. Step 2. Hold down the button on your reel, holding the spool steady. Grab your lure with your opposite hand. Watch out for the hook. Step 3. Drop the rod tip down, bringing back your lure while keeping the line taut. Step 4. Raise the rod tip in one swooping motion, pulling the lure out of your other hand. That will drop the lure wherever your rod tip is pointing. And step 5. Control the distance by slowing the line with your thumb. Flipping. Great for casting into weed mats. Flipping is a little bit faster than pitching, and it's even shorter range, McAlexander says. It's extremely effective, especially around shallow docks with mixed timber and vegetation. Step 1. Pull out a lot of slack line, estimating the distance to your target. Keep your thumb on the spool or keep your reel engaged. Step 2. Start the lure swinging. Then let the lure go out with the slack line. Do not let your thumb off the spool. Step 3. You can sit there, jiggle it a couple of seconds in that spot, then pull your slack line out and do the same thing for the next spot. Sidearm cast, great for windy conditions. If it's windy outside, you want to keep your lure low, McAlexander says. With a straight overhead cast, the wind will really throw your lure around and reduce your distance. With a sidearm cast, you can skip your lure across the water and under cover. Step 1. Bring your rod back at your side, holding the button and using a circular swooping motion. Step 2. Snap your wrist forward, releasing the button, which releases the line. The real world. Spin caster. This is the elastic, and these are pictures of different types of casting tools. This is the classic push-button reel most people start with. But Alexander says it lets you get the casting motion down before you have to figure out the mechanics of the reel. Baitcaster. This push-button reel gives you more control. To cast, you push the button down with your thumb. It locks in place. Then you hold the spool steady with your thumb until you cast. After you cast, you gradually apply more pressure to the spool to slow the speed of the lure as it gets close to its target. McAlexander likes to use this reel to get fish out of thick cover. He says it's also good for casting spinnerbait, jigs, crankbaits, and swimbait lures. And finally, spinning reel. This is an open-face reel that has a spool of line parallel to the rod. McAlexander likes to use this reel to cast light crankbaits, Texas rigs, drop-shot rigs, jerkbaits, and weightless soft plastics. Now let's find out a little bit about Mr. Aaron McAlexander. His file. He was born October 15, 1985. His hometown is Charleston, Indiana. His fishing mentors, his dad and grandpa. His biggest win, the 2008 Collegiate Bass Anglers Association Big Ten Championship for Purdue University. His worst fishing moment, well, it was passing out from being sick during a weigh-in at a tournament. The gear guy, representative for Engage, a new collection of fishing gear. His current gig, what's he doing now? Well, he's doing salmon habitat studies for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And his motto, live to fish, fish to live. Our next article is from the Gear Guy, and he's going to be talking about maintenance. Be a clean machine. Gear Guy tells you what you need to know to keep both you and your gear clean and ready for action. Clean your room. Do the dishes. Wash behind your ears. As much as it pains me to say this, your mom's actually right. Keeping clean is a great habit to have both at home and on the trail, and it's equally important to keep your gear clean and in good working order. You probably heard the phrase, take care of your gear and it'll take care of you. Well, it's true, and we'll show you exactly how to do it so you'll be ready for your next adventure. Stay clean on the trail. Baby wipes aren't just for babies. Many outdoorsmen I know carry a small pack of baby wipes on the trail. They're lightweight and contain just enough liquid to feel refreshing on your skin. Wash your hands. Do it religiously after you use the bathroom, before you cook a meal, and prior to eating. Warm water and soap is best, but on the trail the gel-based hand sanitizer is often easier. Choose one with an alcohol concentration of at least 60%, so it'll kill all the microbes that can collect on your skin and make you sick. Be sure to rub the gel into your hand for about 20 seconds or until dry. Check out Purell Instant Hand Sanitizer. Brush your teeth. Home, not home, you still need to clean your chompers. Bring along a toothbrush and use it. If you're camping with your troop, consider sharing a tube of toothpaste between friends. And if you're really an ounce counter, a hiker who is fanatical about ultralight backpacking, cut off the handle of the toothbrush to save weight. Need one? Check out the Boy Scout toothbrush. Bath time. Sure, being dirty can be fun for a few days, but if you're sharing a tent with fellow scouts, pay attention to your stink factor. When it's bath time, get a pot of water and scrub yourself down. Use a biodegradable soap like the liquid Dr. Bronner's Magic Soap. I like the peppermint scent, or Sea to Summit Pocket Soap. A little thin single-use leaves of soap. If you're really homesick, try the solar-headed hangable Sea to Summit Pocket Shower, which gives you about 7 minutes of warm showering. Finally, my favorite, swimming. Nothing feels better than a quick dip after a long day on the trail. Dry off. Obviously, you need a towel to dry off after bath time, but it's silly to bring a big old towel, thick towel from home. Besides, being heavy, they're slow to dry. A better bet is a lightweight, quick-dry towel like the MSR Pack Towel Ultralight or REI Multi-Towel Light. Put on clean underwear. If you have room in your backpack, bring along an extra set of underwear and clean clothes for wearing around camp. Once you do your sponge bath or swim, it's nice to change into clean or sort of clean clothes. It also gives your trail clothes a chance to air out and dry overnight. Washing machine a go-go. For longer backpacking trips, you can wash your clothes by putting them in a dry bag, turn it inside out, or a plastic trash bag with a little water and soap. Seal it up, then hike with it attached to the outside of your pack, or simply shake it vigorously for 10 minutes or so. Drain the soapy water and refill for the rinse cycle. Dish duty. If you're on dish duty, use a biodegradable soap like Camp Suds, Dr. Bronner's, or Sea to Summit pocket soap. One simple way to do dishes is with a portable sink like the Kelty kitchen sink, which comes with the refractable drying rack. Remember, you don't need purified water to wash your camp dishes as long as you let your clean dishes air dry before using them again, because most microorganisms can't survive in a dry environment. You can even use river water, add a handful of sand to scrub the pots like a Brillo pad. Wipe your feet. Use a small folded over towel as a kind of welcome mat for your tent to collect. Collect dirt before it gets tracked inside. Make a rule that you and your tent mates must take off your boots before getting inside. Air it out. You are no doubt familiar with the sleeping bag stank syndrome. After several days of hiking hard and going to bed without a bath, you don't breathe, you don't read bath time at left, obviously. Your sleeping bag and tent often stink. So when you can, let your sleeping bag and tent air out in the fresh air before breaking camp each day. Keep your gear clean and ready. Hiking boots. It's important to clean and dry out your boots after every trip. Rinse them in cool water and use a soft bristle brush to brush the grime off, paying special attention to the seams and stitching. If they are super dirty, you might try a cleaner like Nickwax Footwear Cleaning Gel. When your boots are looking especially manky, you may want to use a spray or rub-on conditioner like Granger's Paste Wax. Finally, if the boots aren't shedding water the way they should, try waterproofing them with a product like Tektron Water Repellent for boots and shoes, or Revivex Leather Spray Water Repellent. Tents. After every outing, check your tent for damage and sweep out the inside to remove all dirt, sand, and debris. If it's dirty, spot clean using a simple sponge with cold water and non-detergent soap. Don't use dishwashing liquid, bleach, stains, sticks, etc. And never machine wash your tent. Also avoid putting your tent away when it is damp. It's one thing to stuff it inside your backpack because it's raining on the trail, but once you're home, be sure to let it air dry. If you've indeed packed it away wet, there's a good chance it's stinking from mildew. If that's the case, try to treat it with an outdoor eliminator like Magnet Myrozyme. You can also try a water solution mixed with 5% hydrogen peroxide. If your tent is leaking, seam seal the floor seams and the rain fly with a product like Magnet Seam Grip. Finally, waterproof the fly and the bottom of the tent with a waterproofer like Granger's Tent Water Provider or Nickwax Tent and Gear Solarproof Waterproofing Spray, which also protects the tent from damaging ultraviolet rays. If you've got plenty of storage room, you might even consider storing your tent poles fully assembled to put less stress on the shock cords inside. Sleeping bags. After every outing, air out your sleeping bag, and if possible, store it on a hanger in a closet. If you don't have space for that, store it in a large, loose bag not compressed in a stuff sack. Then, before each camping season, wash your bag. This will help restore its loft puffiness and its warmth. It's best to machine wash your bag in a front-load washer because it's gentler than a top-loader. But never dry clean a down bag as it'll reduce the warmth of the down inside. And don't use regular detergent. Instead, throw it in the wash with something like Revivex Down Cleaner or Nickwax Down Wash, which cleans the down and boots its war repellency too. Be sure to run it through the sink cycle twice for synthetic bags. Try a cleaner like Granger's Performance Wash. First aid kits. Before and after every outing, check your first aid kit. Make sure it's clean and dry. If any medicines and ointments have expired, replace them. For a list of what ought to be in your kit, check out our first aid kit ingredients list at boyslife.org/first aid kit. Cooking pots and pans. This may seem like it goes without saying. Thoroughly clean your pots and pans before you store them for the season. Nobody wants year-old omelet residue in his breakfast. When storing Dutch ovens, place a paper towel or piece of newspaper inside to collect any moisture, and prop open the lid with the folded-over paper towel to let air circulate and prevent the oven from getting a rancid smell. Camp stoves. After every outing, check your stove for damage, missing parts, and any fuel leaks. At least once a season, plan on doing full maintenance on your stove. One of the simplest ways is with a cleaning kit from the manufacturer, such as this MSR Annual Stove Maintenance Kit. Don't leave fuel in your stove in the off-season either. Instead, disconnect the fuel bottle and let the gas burn all the way out. If your stove has a plunger for pumping the fuel, put a little 3-in-1 oil in the pumping cup. Also, check all of the seals and treat the O-rings with petroleum jelly to prevent cracking before storing it for the season. Rainwear and shell jackets. If your rainwear isn't really keeping you dry anymore, if it's wetting out instead of repelling water, it's time to clean it and possibly renew its water repellency. A jacket's DWR, durable water repellent, coating can wear thin, and dirt and grime can log the membranes of the Gore-Tex, Event, and other waterproof /breathable fabrics, making them not so breathable anymore. Often, just a good washing paired with about 45 minutes in the dryer on low heat and or one quick once-over with a warm iron is enough to revive your jacket. Most important, read and follow the life and care instructions inside your jacket. Some conventional detergents and fabric softeners may clog the membranes, so use a specific treatment like Nickwax Tech, or one that cleans and renews the jacket's waterproof finish simultaneously, like Granger's One-Step Wash and Waterproofer. If you want to boost the DWR even further, try a spray-on waterproofer such as Revivex spray-on water repellent in underwear and outwear. It's important to note that Gore-Tex warns against using wash and waterproofers with their jackets and recommends spray-in products only. And of course, it has pictures of all of these particular items and sprays. Well, our next article has a big picture of a sailboat and looks like a young man who's using a chart to find their way. Sailing on the Bay. After a stormy start, Maryland scouts find smooth sailing during their week on the Chesapeake. The trip did not start at all as the scouts of Troop 303 from Valley Lee, Maryland had hoped. It was the first day of their week-long sailing expedition on the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland, and they had already been through one storm. But that earlier squall was nothing compared to the one they found themselves in later the same day. Wave after wave was pounding their vessel, and then, with a sudden surge, their ship, the Marguerite, was pushed onto its side. "A wall of wind and rain suddenly hit us," Life Scout Ethan Johnson says. "The boat keeled over, and the tow rail went 1 or 2 feet into the water. And when an adult went to try to secure the mainsail, he slipped and hurt his ankle." Star Scout Chris Gill was below deck when the ship tipped over, and things started flying around him, including him. When the boat shifted to 80 degrees because of the gust, I went flying into the other side of the chain, Chris says, and on the other side of the cabin. It's not easy to be the navigator when all your charts go shooting off the table, and then you go too. Working together, the group managed to turn into the wind and steady the boat, and the injured adult was quickly rendered first aid. But as the wind continued to scream and lightning flashed all around them, everyone was asking the same question. If this is happening on our first day, what will the next four be like? Settling down. Even though the scouts had been hoping for good weather, they were prepared for anything. They knew conditions could change fast on a body of water like this. And so it has pictures of a young man, and this is Nick Crawley, how he knows the ropes on this boat. And as I'm holding the rope, he went on the two training trips before this one, which it sounds like he really needed the training. And it shows another boat on his boat, the American flag, and each member of the boat doing their part. Five things you have to know if you're going sailing for more than one day. Your knots. Sailing offers lots of opportunities for using the knots you've learned in Boy Scouts. Some of the most common, the stopper knot, the bowline, the sheet bend, and cleat knots. The linge. Learn the meaning of words such as sail, delay, starboard, port, watch, depth, and overboard. How to survive in close quarters. On boat, a ship, everything is designed to make the most use of space, so get used to tight squeezes. 4. The conditions, large bodies of water, have a way of making their own weather. Storms can happen at any time, even when the forecast calls for clear skies. And 5, chain of command. Make the captain happy by doing everything asked of you, Nick Crawley says, or you might find yourself swimming home. Well, to practice sails help the boys make it safely through the first day storms. And after that was over, the weather began cooperating, offering clear skies and only occasional choppy waves that made stomachs squeezy. We didn't have any bad weather after the start of our trip, Star Scout Ken Gill says, but we did get some scouts with upset stomachs. A couple of us had to lean over the side to lose our breakfasts. The better weather allowed the boys to improve the skills they worked on during their test trips. When they weren't taking turns and keeping a lookout for other ships, they were practicing knots and navigation, raising and lowering the sails, and carrying out the 100 other jobs of a sailor's life. We learned all the requirements for the small boat sailing merit badge except the swamping a boat, Ethan says. We came close in the second squall, but everybody was okay with letting that one go unsigned. Happy ending. There were some close encounters of the mysterious kind, like when First Class Scout Christian DiBenedetto saw the inside of the ship's toilet glowing during their night sail. When I pumped the water out into the bay, it sucked these tiny phosphorescent creatures back in, Christian says. You could see them on the water side too, but it was really cool to see the little greenish things actually inside the ship. Although their voyage started out with lightning and high waves, it ended with smooth sailing and rich sunsets. The troop has several future trips planned, and this summer will even venture out into the Atlantic Ocean. It'll sure to be another challenging adventure, but the boys will get through it with the teamwork perfected during their first trip on the Chesapeake. Once you've got the main priority, safety, in good order, Ethan says, then there's no place you can't go. Of course, it has here where history was made. The Chesapeake Bay is the largest estuary, a partly enclosed body of water in the United States. More than 150 rivers and streams drain into the bay before it empties into the Atlantic Ocean. It's a popular recreation area, and it's historically significant. The bay was the site of the Battle of the Chesapeake in 1781. This was the decisive Navy battle of the Revolutionary War, during which the French and American fleet defeated the British Royal Navy. Of course, it has a picture here above Christian Di Benedetto, uses his binoculars to peer into the distance as Chris Gill looks on. And left, a scout studies charts in the ship's cabin. Well, you know, this is the 100th year of Boy Scouts in America, and a big jamboree is planned. And Mr. Robert J. Mazuka has a welcome letter for all of you. The best, most exciting, fun-filled, safest jamboree ever is finally here. It is my pleasure as Chief Scout Executive to welcome you to the 2010 National Scout Jamboree, celebrating 100 years of the Boy Scouts of America. Over the next week and a half, you'll have the opportunity to experience all that is great about scouting. As Port A.P. Hill, Virginia becomes home to some 43,000 scouts and scouters from across the country and around the world, what is here for you to do at the Jamboree? Let's just say that a week and a half is not enough time to do it all. Drop by the Marriage Bad Midway to work on your advancement in scouting. Visit the Boys Life exhibit area for a behind-the-scenes lecture look at how the magazine is created each month. Lace up your running shoes and participate in one of the four regional 5K runs on Friday morning. You can immerse yourself in scouting's rich past at the Bronzia Sea Island Camp and in the excitement of the Future of Technology Quest. Between it all, enjoy all the amazing activities in the four action centers and beyond. Canoeing, kayaking, climbing, rappelling, scuba, mountain boarding, archery, shooting, fishing. I could go on, but I would soon run out of space. Don't forget our great arena shows, capped off by our spectacular centennial celebration show on Saturday night. For the first time in the history of the Boy Scouts of America, we will be bringing the scouting community together for a single national-wide event. The entire scouting family, past, present, and future, will be able to take part in a special nationwide broadcast. A shining light across America will bring the excitement of the show to communities across the country via webcast and satellite transmission, and you have the opportunity to witness it in person. Welcome once again to this most exciting time in scouting history. Be sure to share what you see, do, and learn with your friends back home. Most of all, have fun. Be safe and enjoy this once-in-a-lifetime experience. And that's from Robert J. Mazuka, Chief Scout Executive. Let's end with a couple from Think and Grin. We'll go right to page 55. Hey, Pat, what has 10 letters and starts with G-A-S? Rick, beats me, Pat, automobile. From Patrick Hoffman in Sedalia, Missouri. A book never written, Coming to America by I Need a Green Card. That's from Sam Baker in Hingham, Massachusetts. Nick, what do scuba divers wear to bed? Greg, tell me. Nick, a snorkel. And that's from Nick Newton in Redwood City, California. A book never written. Great Cheeses by Colby Jack. And that's from Patrick Shortridge in Lino Lakes, Minnesota. Andrew, wow, it's raining cats and dogs. Brian, how can you tell? Andrew, I just stepped in a poodle. That's from Andrew Lamb in Rancho Cordova, California. And finally, Pedro's pick. Wyatt, what did the tie say to the hat? Warren, no idea. Wyatt, you go on ahead. I'll just hang around. And that's from Wyatt DeSantis in Lutherville, Maryland. Well, we have run out of time for today's reading of Boys Life magazine. Be sure to listen again. We hope you've enjoyed it. I am John Ivey, reading from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. So long until next time.